Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Let's begin.
I was going through my old notebooks and journals with my girlfriend, and that's when I found a journal entry from when I was about 12 years old. It made me remember a time when I used to live in what I thought was a very safe and protected neighborhood. But I wasn't allowed to go too far from home without someone watching me. Because our neighborhood had gates around it, my parents would let me walk around inside those gates, even if they weren't home. One day after school, I was riding my bike around the neighborhood when I saw a middle-aged lady. She was sitting on her porch, crying, and her front door was wide open. I got worried and stopped my bike to see what was happening. She told me she was having trouble with her husband and asked me to come inside her house to keep her company while she calmed down. I felt a bit uneasy because I knew it's important to be cautious around people I didn't know, but I also wanted to be a kind and polite person. As a young kid, I felt confused about what to do. So I kept saying no to going inside, and she kept asking, saying, "Please, please, just for a moment. I just need someone to talk to." But I kept refusing, and then she asked me to wait outside with her and stay until she felt better. I agreed to wait because I felt safe in my neighborhood. She asked me to sit on her porch while she went inside her house and brought back a couple of framed pictures. She joined me inside the house while I sat on the porch just outside the door. Then she showed me the pictures. One was of a kid who was older than me, wearing the local high school football uniform. The other picture had a man and the same kid in it. She started telling me stories about how she met the man and how they spent their honeymoon in Hawaii. She also talked about how her kid was really good at football, one of the best on the team. But she was really upset because she was afraid that if she and her husband got a divorce, she wouldn't see her kid anymore. She started crying again, and this time she cried on my shoulder. Strangely, knowing she had a child made me feel more at ease around her. She kept talking for a while, and I started feeling a bit awkward. She kept crying on and off on my shoulder, and I didn't know how to react. I kept thinking, what did I get myself into? I just nodded my head, pretending to listen, but I was more worried about finding a good excuse to leave and go home. She kept saying nice things about me, calling me a young and kind boy. She also said, "You don't know how important it is for you to spend time with me." This made me feel a little guilty about leaving her. She kept insisting that she wanted to make me dinner as a thank you if I came inside, but I kept saying no. Finally, I told her I had to leave. She asked if I knew how to use her cell phone because she had just gotten it recently. I said I could help, so I waited. She left for quite a while, and even though part of me wanted to walk away, I didn't want to be rude, especially since she lived so close to my house and might know my parents. I kept feeling really anxious as I thought about leaving, but then I'd convince myself to stay. It was like a roller coaster of emotions. I felt like I couldn't just walk away. After what felt like a super long time, she brought me her phone, and it was an Android. I only had an iPhone 3G at that time, so I was worried I wouldn't know how to use it. I held down the power button for a moment, and it turned on. She then asked if I knew how to check text messages. I found the Messages app and opened it. There was only one phone number, and it wasn't saved as a contact in the app. Then she pointed at the text and said, "Please read me his messages." So I opened it. She had received a bunch of messages that were pretty much the same, just different ways of saying hello and asking for a reply. She was upset and told me to read them to her right away. She really wanted to know what he said. I told her, "They all say hello with a question mark. she insisted in a strong voice, "Read them to me." So I started reading the messages. Then she closed her eyes and nodded at times, and she commented things like, "He does miss me. Well, forget him as he had his chance." Then, she quickly changed from being a crying and worried woman to someone who was angry and wanted to prove she was right. A few times I paused while reading, and I asked if she wanted me to stop. But she snapped at me, saying, "Keep reading." So I kept on reading. It felt like her husband was acting.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Being kind of crazy with so many similar messages. I scrolled through and read many messages that looked almost the same, going back for days. My heart was pounding, and I felt like I was involved in something I shouldn't be part of. I really wanted to go home, but every time I stopped, she got really angry and told me to keep reading. Then I found a message that was different from all the others. It said, "As I've already told the police, and I have a restraining order, if you come near my family, you'll be arrested." I felt really worried when I read that. It made me realize that all the messages I'd been reading were from her phone. I stopped and couldn't believe it, but she insisted, "Keep reading." I told her I couldn't because it was getting very late and my parents were expecting me for dinner. "Why don't you come in for dinner? I'll make you something. You can tell them later that you were helping your neighbor. They won't be upset, I promise." But this time she was both angry and really worried. So I explained that my parents would get concerned and wonder why I was gone for so long. She begged me a few more times not to leave, and she started crying as I got up. Honestly, I felt bad about it back then. I rode my bike home as fast as I could. When I got home, my parents had just come back from work, and they asked me where I'd been. But I didn't tell them the truth, as I was a little scared that they might not let me go around the neighborhood when they weren't home. A few days later, when I came home, I saw there were three police cars parked in front of her house. It felt really worried when I saw the police cars, so that night I asked my parents if they knew what had happened. My dad just said, "Oh, there was a break-in or something." Later, I asked one of our neighbors if they knew more about it. That another neighbor had led a homeless woman into their home. They offered her a shower, a place to stay, new clothes, and a phone. They were even trying to help her find a job. But it turned out she had a mental illness, and she started having strange beliefs, like thinking the neighbor's kid was her own. Eventually, the neighbor kicked her out. After she was kicked out, she started bothering him a lot. So he went to his parents' house and sent his kid to stay with his ex-wife because he was worried about their safety. He had good reasons to be worried because not long after he left, she broke one of the windows to get into the house. Then she stayed in the house for nearly a week before a neighbor noticed the broken window and called the police. By the time they arrived, she had wrecked the whole house. She got arrested. I had a hard time believing it, but I checked behind the house and saw the broken window myself. I think the guy probably ended his lease and moved out right away because he was scared she might come back after getting out of jail. I'm not sure if she ever tried to come back, but I really hope they told the new tenants about what happened. To this day, I still feel uneasy about it. Who knows what could have happened if I had gone into that house.
Let's begin.
If you want to understand why I left the place I was at, you're really just going to have to hear the entire story. You won't believe it, of course, but your skepticism means nothing. Because what I saw that night on the bayou has been with me ever since. In my mind, in my thoughts, and sometimes even in my dreams, it exists as a disturbing memory that I cannot shake away, that will never go away just so long as I live. It will be one of those things so terrifying that it'll still be just as keen in my mind on my deathbed as it was the day it occurred. But whether or not you believe me, I'll tell it to you anyway, if not only to serve as a warning, a plea for caution if you ever find yourself near the swamps late at night. At the time, I was working at a shitty little fast food place. The only thing worse than working at a shitty fast food place is working at a shitty fast food place on the night shift by yourself, without a vehicle. Especially when you just so happen to live in the heart of rural Louisiana. Such was my case some years ago, the night this event happened to me. During this time, I lived quite a few miles away from the restaurant I worked at, and due to my lack of a vehicle or any access to a public bus system, I was dependent on others for my transportation to and from work. One night, after a busy evening of serving customers, I closed the store and locked up the restaurant. When I phoned for my ride, nobody answered. Now, I'm not here to throw a pity party, but I can't help but to express anger at the fact that the person who drove me to and fro to work was my roommate, who had a car but no fucking job, and I was basically the only person in our house who paid the rent at this time. And this loser had the carelessness to fall asleep, leaving me with no fucking option but to walk. Again, this was not the first time that this had happened. The first time this had happened, it took me an hour and a half to get home, walking briskly. And to those of you who have never been to the rural regions of Louisiana, you have no clue. Here we have what is called a bayou. It's basically swamp. Thick, murky, moist, frog-laden, mosquito-swarming, gator-infested, crappy-smelling swamp, with thick, tall grass, cattails, cypress trees, and heaves of pond scum. And I just so happened to live on the bayou, all the way down a long dirt road with hardly any streetlights and thick swamp on both sides of the road. There are no side roads, and the houses down this street are separated sometimes by more than a quarter mile apart. It's not merely spooky walking down this road at night, it's fucking terrifying. You hear sounds, both real and imagined, coming from the bayou. Chirping, croaking, howling, grunting animals, the rustling of leaves and branches in the canopy of the cypress trees and the splashing water from underneath them. That's the worst. You can hear the sound of something lurking nearby abruptly dunk underwater. It can be a turtle, a snake, or an alligator. You never know. You just keep walking, with your teeth and hands clenched tight, hoping nothing crawls through the tall grass next to you and onto the road. Or, even worse than the subtle dunking sounds, the sudden splashes that happen when you're walking and scare a toad or frog, and it jumps into the water. The sound makes you almost shit yourself as you begin a running spree that lasts about 3 seconds before you realize what it was, and then you're left with your heart pounding so hard that the sound of your blood gushing in your temples scares you just as much. These are the types of things that happen when you're in the bayou. This is what I had to look forward to that night as my asshole roommate slept sprawled out on the sofa with the television set probably tuned into reruns of the Three Stooges and the Marx Brothers. And don't get the impression that I simply called once and gave up. You can trust that his cell had around 7 or so missed calls, three very unfriendly voicemails, and several aggressive text messages. I could just imagine his phone laying in another room of the house, softly vibrating in my desperate attempts to reach him as he snored. But eventually I gave up, and having just about no other friends to contact in the area as a recourse, I stopped by the nearby gas station, grabbed an energy drink, and began my ways back home. Now, you must understand, the first 30 or so minutes of my walk isn't that bad. I'm still in the most populated part of town, and there are streetlights, stores, houses, and cars passing by in large numbers. That's important. If there are a lot of cars going by, you feel safer than when there are very few cars going by. Because when there are only one or two cars that pass you every 3 minutes, that means that there could be a psychopath in one of those cars, and they may have enough time to stop by and murder you without being caught. But if there are a lot of cars around, there may be psychopaths passing by, but they'll most likely not kill you then because there are too many people around to witness the crime. At least that's my reasoning. I digress. No psychopaths pulled up next to me as I walked about this part of town. Next, there comes a time in my journey where I have to turn down several suburban neighborhoods and walk some streets to get where I am going. And here's where things get a little less safe, and I have to be a little more cautious. There's less traffic down these roads, and you never know when some punk or gang may be hanging out in some empty lot or house who might mess with you or try to pick a fight or mug you or just take an empty bottle of malt liquor and bash your skull in, you know, as an initiation ritual or something. These are the thoughts that go through my head as I walk this region, and they keep me on my toes until I reach the point where houses become fewer and fewer and the bayou begins. This is where the dirt road leading to my home is. And that's where I found myself this night, on foot. I looked down the narrow road. You can only see so far before it fades into misty darkness. I resented that I would have to spend the next tour walking its distance until I reached home, but anger took hold of fear when I thought about how all of this could be spared if not for the neglect and carelessness of my roommate. When I got home, I was really going to have it in for him. I truly considered at that time the possibility of physically smacking his damned face. And with this thought in mind, I launched defiantly down the road. And the further I walked, the darker it became, until no light shined but the stars and a sliver of the moon above me. Very soon, the sound of any vehicle was completely non-existent. There was just me, the road, and the bayou, and whatever creatures dwelt there. I heard the crickets chirp, and the frogs croak, and the occasional bird coo. To avoid fear, I focused on their chorus, and let their sounds preoccupy my mind. I walked watching my shoes press into the sandy dirt as I placed one foot in front of the other. I would count my steps until I reached 100, and then I'd begin again. I tried to lose myself in the repetition. My shoes became damper and damper, and I felt the soles of my feet become moist. I stopped counting to ponder whether I should smack my roommate with a wet sock, but my thought was interrupted when I glanced up for a moment and saw that I was not alone on this road. A sharp panic seized my heart, and I became very nervous. A long distance up ahead of me, I could discern the soft silhouette of a figure. It was so far away that I couldn't tell whether it was moving ahead or in my direction. I froze, and I could feel the blood gushing in my temples. What were the chances of there being some malicious punk wandering this street at night, looking to rob me or pick a fight? This was the reassuring thought I had as I tried to convince myself that I was safe. I tried to keep calm, to not let my nerves get the best of me. I mean, whoever this was probably just as frightened of the prospects of me as I was of them if they had already detected me. That is, I didn't know what to do. Run? There was only two directions. Continue walking. What were the risks? As I stood there, I saw that the figure was indeed moving in my direction, and its form was becoming more definite. And this was the time I began to notice how awkward it was moving. The figure didn't walk normal. It didn't bob up and down like how a normal person looks like as they walk. What was coming towards me, it would seem from my perspective, moved in short, quick, jerking movements. And I could see from what light was present, how its twitchy limbs projected from its torso, and how it was getting closer, and how its head stuck out from a neck that was longer than any human neck should be. And how at this time, I could now faintly hear the noises that it seemed to make, the sound of suckling, and how it was moving quicker, and how its face lifted, and I could see its eyes glare like glowing yellow beads, and how these wide, beady eyes locked onto mine, staring at me, and how it stopped, and how we both were there, motionless, yards away, looking at each other, and how it then let out the most ungodly, inhuman screech I have ever heard, like a pig being gutted. It squealed violently, and the sound resounded through the bayou, and the chirping and croaking of crickets and frogs stopped. Everything stopped, and the rumbling and humming was all that could be heard afterwards. The rumbling and humming of a motor ahead, a vehicle speeding towards us, tires racing loudly. The thing in front of me hunched over and turned to see the headlights beaming our way. It hissed, getting down on all fours, only pausing for a moment to turn back towards me, gawking at me with its wide eyes, before crawling hastily into the swamp. The vehicle that scared the thing away was my roommate's car. He never saw it, whatever it was, and I never wanted to see it again. I moved as soon as I could, and haven't been there since.
Thank you for being here when you have so many other